Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. My name is Adam Homey. I'll be your host, as always, and I'm so excited you could join us today. As the name of our show says, our listeners are business creators, and they fall into one of four primary categories. We have our entrepreneurs, small business owners, and local business owners. We have marketing and business coaches. We have folks who help others build their businesses, and we have do-it-yourselfers who love to have your own hands on the levers and run your own marketing. If you are one or more of the above, please take a moment, explore our episodes, and discover how our experts can help you win at the game of business and marketing at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Just do a search for Business Creators Radio Show. Every 5-star rating is greatly appreciated and helps us help more business creators just like you. And be sure to subscribe because we update every week with our fresh episodes. Now, today's episode is going to be about direct mail. Direct mail is one of those things that so frequently gets overlooked when I go into discussion groups about marketing. We talk about things like how to use social media and how to get more traffic to your website. And those who listen to Business Creators Radio Show know that I tell you the last thing you ever need for your business is more traffic to your website. It's probably more harm than good. So what I'd like to speak with you about and what our guest expert, who I'll introduce in just a moment, is going to share with us is how direct mail will grow your business. No matter what Google launches, no matter what the spam agencies do or your email service provider, your web host or your email marketing system, there is one inbox that Google or any of the spam monitors or anybody else can never mess with, and that's the inbox where you drive up to your car and you open it up and you pull out the mail. You may recall back in the day, about 20 years ago, when we all got so excited, and email was a brand new thing. And when we ever got a new email and we heard, you've got mail, we got all excited. Now we go to the mailbox and we get all excited when there's something that's not either a bill or an invitation to sign up for yet another credit card. This is where you have a unique opportunity to zoom right past your competition because while everybody else is thinking about how we get more traffic to our website or how we use more social media, which are all important strategies, you'll be the one reaching your prospects inside their mailbox where nobody else is paying attention. You've heard it said, when everybody else is zigging, you should be zagging. And direct mail and using that to market and grow your business is a great way to zag where everybody else is zigging. So today, I am very honored to have with us, and I've been looking forward to this interview for a long time, we have with us Diane Conklin. And Diane is an internationally known author, entrepreneur, coach, consultant, marketing strategist, and speaker. She is a direct response marketing expert who specializes in showing small business owners how to integrate their online and offline marketing strategies, media, and methods to get maximum results from their marketing dollars. For more than 15 years, Diane has been leading small businesses to bigger profits through her proprietary home study system, speaking from the platform and by providing done-for-you services to clients all over the world. As the founder of Complete Marketing Systems, Diane has been involved in numerous campaigns, grossing over $1 million several times in her career, and routinely helps people grow their businesses to six figures and beyond in short periods of time. Several times in as little as 90 days. Boy, wouldn't you like to go from zero to $100,000 in 90 days? Sounds good to me. I know a lot of our listeners feel they're doing just fine with $100,000 a year. So imagine taking a 9-month vacation and keeping your current income level or quadrupling that. So Diane's areas of expertise include social media, information marketing, direct response marketing, direct mail and event marketing, planning and management. As a speaker, Diane has shared the stage with the likes of Barbara Corcoran, Joan Rivers, George Foreman, Cal Ripken Jr., Dan Kennedy, Lee Miltier, Harry Dent, James Malinchak, Marie Forleo, and many others. She was voted Glazer Kennedy Marketer of the Year for her innovative marketing strategies and campaigns, and Diane was also nominated Atlanta Businesswoman of the Year in 2014. Diane, do you think you're going to be able to live up to all this?
Well, I don't know. I was just thinking, who is he talking about?
And I'd like to share one thing with our listeners. When we first reached out to you, and we were so honored you accepted our invitation to be on Business Creators Radio Show, your first question was, okay, well, you contacted me. What do you want to talk about? And what's so awesome about you is you have so many different areas of expertise. You heard me mention a moment ago, everybody else is talking about social media, and we're talking about direct response marketing and information marketing. And I'm saying, while those things are important, direct mail is also very important. So what's nice is you run the gamut, and you can approach this from so many different areas, but there are so few out there who understand how to not only implement direct mail as a marketing strategy, but also integrate it with the stuff that everybody else is talking about. So you're both zigging and zagging. There is no way you can miss.
Yeah, you know, I talk a lot about what I call integrated marketing, whereas, you know, so many people try to be one channel. I learned many years ago that one in business is always the worst number. And so, you know, I
right.
talk a lot about, you know, how do you integrate your social media with, and your email marketing with some offline things, whether it's direct mail or, you know, goodness gracious, we might talk about TV or radio or, you know, print ads in a journal or maybe a local paper or something like that. So it's all about integrating things and tying things together so that you increase
right.
your chances of people seeing you in some place, right, depending upon where they are.
Exactly. Exactly. So before we dive into this, and I can tell you're just chomping at the bit, as am I, to dive in, could you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself in terms of how you got from wherever you came from to how you arrived where you are today? I know some of our listeners haven't had yet a chance to get to know you as a person. They've heard your bio. But what we like to do is bring out the stories. What was it that drove you? What was it that brought you to where you are today, helping business creators with all these different areas of marketing, including direct mail?
Well, you know, Adam, it's interesting. My story is a little different than a lot of people's. I grew up on a 75-acre farm in a very small town in Ohio, and sort of
okay.
always had this drive. You know, I watched my dad do a lot of different things. He farmed full-time. He worked full-time jobs. He did all kinds of things. Was always trying things, you know, and I sort of watched that, and I think I sort of got this entrepreneurial spirit. I didn't know what to call it, but you know, I have a master's degree in exercise science, and I was working in health clubs, and I've worked in gyms and hospitals and all government facilities. I've done some pretty fun things with that degree, and I love it. And then I sort of got this bug, you know, I wanted to do something more. I knew there was something more out there, and so I started to study and learn about marketing. And along the way, I met a guy who was in real estate, but he also did information marketing. He was a big direct mail guy, did a lot of events, was an information marketer. And he said to me, we got to be good enough friends that I went on vacation in Florida where he lived, and we went out to lunch. And I was in my 30s, and he said to me, Dan, what are you going to do when you grow up? And so long story short is I actually went and worked for him for a year for no pay because
okay.
I wanted to really learn this business. So I picked up, you know, whatever I could fit in my pickup truck. I lived here in Atlanta at the time and have since moved back, but and drove 8 hours to a little place called Merritt Island, Florida, got a one-bedroom furnished apartment, sight unseen, and lived for a year with dial-up and you can imagine eating a lot of Cheerios. But, you know,
yeah.
I really got to learn the business, and I got to learn sales and marketing, and he threw me into things. And, you know, sort of the rest is sort of history. You know, I worked for him for a while, then branched out on my own and have just continued to learn and grow. And, you know, I'm very happy to say that when I decided to leave working with him, I didn't do it the traditional way. I didn't have a list. I didn't have a product. I didn't have anything except the desire to go out and make it work. And we sort of jumped and I just kept – my philosophy is do things with the plan, but keep saying yes and figure out the how. And
right.
So we just sort of did that, and everything worked out. I'm very proud to say that I never made less than six figures from the first year that I was in business, and it's gone, you know, up from there. So that's kind of the short version of my story and kind of how I got here. And, you know, my big thing is, my big motto is, how do I make a living while making a difference? And that's really the thing that's important to me, is making a difference in other business owners' lives and other business people's lives, because when you touch the business, you touch every aspect, really, of somebody's life, and that's the thing that,
right.
that you know, the reason I do what I do.
Right, right. Well, us entrepreneurs, us business creators, we can be a pesky bunch sometimes, and something in your story really resonated with me. I grew up, you know, from a family that valued hard work, and even as a child, I was looking in the penny saver, and I was trying to find, they called them get-rich-quick schemes. I wasn't using that terminology even at the time, but I didn't know what to call it. It eventually manifested itself as a desire to have the ability to make my own money and write my own paycheck. I did the whole thing where I went to college. I did very well in college. I got an MBA. I did the corporate hustle for a while. I did all that stuff. But it just didn't quite resonate for me because I just needed to have that feeling of knowing that I could write my own paycheck. And when you look and you see role models around you, it seems like they're always working hard. They're going from one job to another job, and they're always working, 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 telling you, study hard, work hard, and play hard, whatever the heck that means. And you don't really see them doing the right amount of any. It does inspire you in a different direction. I grew up in a fairly rural area myself, and we didn't have a farm, but there were a lot of farms nearby. So I have a little bit of familiarity, at least from an observer level, with what that's like, and that can be pretty challenging. Now, Now, here in the Business Creators Radio Show, we provide the tools, techniques, and strategies to help entrepreneurs quickly grow their businesses. And a lot of our listeners tell me they have everything except time and money. They can implement anything that you or anybody else who comes on our show and shares with us tells them to do, except for time and money. And I ask this question of every single one of our guests, not only because I like the variety of answers, but also because I'm very intrigued by the variety of ways in which you interpret the question. So how does that apply to the concept you're about to share with us?
Well, you know, I can take the big approach and say that it doesn't apply any differently than it does to anything else, quite frankly, because the bottom
right.
line is this, Adam. Time and money are the two excuses. Oh, excuse me, I mean reasons, right? You use the word interchangeably. It's the excuse we use when we don't know what else to say. It's the first thing that comes to our mind, and we know statistically that that's only really, really true about 10 to 15% of the time. So
right.
here's what I know about time and money. We all find the time and the money to do the things that are the most important to us. So, you know,
right.
here's what I would say is time and money are an excuse when you don't understand this thing called leverage. And time and money are an excuse that you put out when you don't understand that there's always somebody out there who knows how to do the thing that can save you both of those. So Joe Polish has a great quote. Many years ago I heard him say, stop trying to get good at everything. Stop trying to strengthen your weaknesses. Strengthen your strengths and hire your weaknesses. Now, I can hear people right now saying, oh, yeah, Diane, that's easy for you to say because it's not an issue. You can afford to do this. You can afford to do that. It's not. That's not it at all. But every person listening to this, I don't care if you're a beginner or if you're somebody who's making seven figures, can afford to bring somebody on for an hour a week or 2 hours a month to start helping you do the things that you're not good at, that you don't enjoy, and that would leverage you, because as soon as you create an opening in your schedule, it'll fill up with money. That's just the way the world and the universe works, whatever you want to call it. So the great
That's true.
News is, you know, with direct mail, there's plenty of people who can help you do it. We do a lot of done-for-you direct mail stuff, but it truly will. Everything you implement, and by the way, they're probably not implementing if they're saying that, because implementation is the number one thing that entrepreneurs and small business owners need help with. But if you'll implement the things that you know how to do, time and money won't be an issue.
Right. I like that a lot. And what you said reminded me of something. It's just so funny how every time I ask this question, it leads to all these other inspirations. And this is something that I went through myself. This is part of my own entrepreneurial journey, and I hear this so many of our listeners, where they're at a certain level in their business, and then they want to start serving their market a different way. Like they want to take their skill sets and what they offer to the world to a higher level, or they want to niche out, or they want to do the executive or the premier level of what they've been doing up until now. But then what happens is they get into this pattern where they hold themselves back, where when the money falls short and they're not sure they can pay the bills, they go back and do more of the same old, because the same clients are willing to pay the same money for the same thing, even though the result's going to be very predictable, which means they're going to hate it. So my thought is, and this is what's worked for me, and this is really where my breakthrough was, since I was in a situation where I needed to get a couple more projects in the door anyway, why not just take that same energy that I was going to use going back and getting more of the same old, and why not use that to get the new stuff? Work like a charm.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what it boils down to? Pretty much every answer that when somebody asks me a question like this, it really boils down to fear. And
yeah.
You can slice it any way you want it. We can call it a lot of different things, but the bottom line is there's this fear that creeps up in us that says you're not good enough. You're not ready for that. You don't know enough. You need to learn about this. What if they say no? What if they reject me? There's all kinds of ways that it manifests itself, but it's fear. And so, and I think the big thing for a lot of us as entrepreneurs, we think about crashing through the fear. Well, and I think sometimes that's intimidating, right? I have to crash through this. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, the phone doesn't grow hair until you're thinking about making a call to somebody who has the potential to say no to you, right? So instead
right.
of, otherwise, you know, we pick up the phone and talk to people all the time. It doesn't have hair, and it's not 6 feet tall and too big to put on our ear, right?
Right.
But the thing is, if you think about this from the perspective of, I call it leaning in, right? Take a baby step. Stop thinking about having to crash through the wall, knock the whole house down. Just take one board at a time. Just take one nail at a time. Just lean into it a little bit and see how it feels, and then keep moving forward. Keep leaning into it. Things will become a lot easier, and those things, again, will open up for you.
Yeah, that reminds me of something right there, and this was taught to me so long ago by my persuasion and copywriting mentor, Ross Jeffries, who's also known as the founder of Speed Seduction. And this is what he teaches his students in the speed seduction business when it comes to men who have approach anxiety when it comes to approaching and meeting women. He'll say something like, well, you see that very attractive woman over there, and you're nervous about approaching her because you think she's going to reject you. Would you have any problem approaching her if her hair was caught on fire and she didn't notice? And the guy say, no, I would walk right up to her and I would tell her hair was on fire and I'd help her put it out. And his question is, well, what's really the difference?
Right.
Yeah. What's really the difference? You got in the conversation, didn't you? So, I mean, that's, and sometimes it is just something as simple as that. You look for, you know, what are the parallels? You would do this thing, you would not have this fear if only there was a slight modification to the situation that was right in front of you. So why not just make that modification if that will work for you and go for it?
Right. At least make it in your head, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So let's talk about direct mail. Everybody's talking about traffic to your website, social media, Facebook ads, everything else. Why should small business owners be adding direct mail to their marketing mix? Let's talk about this dagging while everybody else is dicking here.
Well, you know, the biggest reason is because if you look at everything that's happening online, very, very easily the numbers are down, right? People are opening less emails. People are getting on less teleseminars and webinars. People are responding less. There are less people responding to Facebook and the Facebook ads. So how do you get around that? Well, you have to do something a little different, right? So the big advantage with direct mail is that it comes in a different format. So there are four big advantages to using direct mail. The big ones are really simply it produces a better client. That's the bottom line. People spend more with you initially, they spend more with you over time, and they stay longer with you. It's just been
right.
proven from a direct mail perspective. So I often say to people, do you want a mediocre client or do you want a really good client? You know, you were talking a little bit ago about people sticking with what they know. Well, they stick with what they know because they don't want to jump to this new client. Well, would you rather stick with those mediocre clients, or do you want to go get people who are very targeted, very specific, your ideal clients who are willing to pay you what you will charge without arguing, without fussing, no muss? And if the answer is you want the latter, then direct mail is a great way to go find those people because we can very, very specifically target and move to people and get their attention in very easy ways, as opposed to blending in with everybody who's doing stuff online.
Right, right. Now, business creators listening to this are going to think I'm about to ask you a Captain Obvious question, just based on everything we've spoken about so far and everything they know to be true about how to effectively grow your business and win at the game of business and marketing. So let me ask you, Diane, isn't this direct mail? Isn't this like old school? Aren't we all online?
Well, you know, that's the big myth, Adam, right? Everybody's online. First of all, everybody's not online, and we sometimes forget that, right? So depending upon, again, who's your target, who's your client, when you know who that is very specifically, and I'm not talking about, oh, well, my clients are women. I'm talking about my clients are 40 to 55-year-old women who live in homes valued at $500,000. They're
right.
Married with 2.3. I'm that kind of specific. I'm never sure where that 0.3 child comes from, but that's another discussion. So you're missing out on a lot of prospects and a lot of clients if all you're doing, again, is that one-legged stool of online marketing. Here's the thing. Direct mail is sometimes thought of as old school, but it's the oldest and most tried and true method for selling, right? It produces that better client. They're going to spend more. So you can think of it, the way I often say to people is you can think of it as old school, or you can test it and see what happens, right? Because here's the thing to think about. Are the companies, look at the mail that you get today. Are there Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 companies sending you mail? And the answer is, yeah, they are. American Express, HP, Coca-Cola. Why do you think those companies continue to use direct mail? Because it works, right? It's a media that works. It's always worked. It continues to work. And if it stopped working, they would stop doing it. Here's even better news, Adam, is that this is a great time to be using direct mail for your business because people are mailing less. Why? Well, because the price of stamps went up, you know, a few months ago. And every time that happens, people back up from the mail. They, you know, it's going to cost me 3 cents more per piece. Who cares? If you know your numbers, if you know what your return on your investment is, you'll very quickly know whether it's a positive return on investment and what that positive return is, right? So let me give you one more really quick advantage of this. And I say this a lot to people when we talk about direct mail. The huge advantage with direct mail is as you're going through the mail pile, right, and you set that thing aside because you go, wow, look, Adam sent me this piece. I really want to look at this. I'll do that later. You set it to the side, and you go back and do what you're doing. Eventually, I have to come back and pick that up again and look at it at least as long as it takes me to go from my hand to the trash can, which means I give myself, as a business owner, as a marketer, a second chance to get you to take action with me. How many times have you put your email and you thought, oh, geez, Adam sent me an email. I really want to look at that, but I don't have time right now. As soon as that email is off your screen, right?
Yep.
Or you put it in, here's even better, you put it in the folder to be read, which now has 24,327 emails in it, you know, you never go back to. But as soon as it's off the screen, whether you're using Outlook or Gmail or whatever you're using, you forget about it. You never get a second chance with just the email. So there are a lot of really good reasons to be using direct mail, again, in addition to the other things that you're already doing.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a very interesting point. People ask me, you know, how do you get a zero inbox? Because everybody wants a zero inbox in their email. And I say, if you want a zero inbox, you take all the emails that are in your inbox right now and archive them. Because you don't have time to sort through them, decide which ones are important. You're not going to agonize over, well, what if I delete this one and I need it later? You take them and you archive them. Now you have a zero inbox. So that's going to happen to that email that I sent you or that you sent me that sounds intriguing that we're going to read later. But yeah, you raised a very good point about direct mail. You just had me thinking about something. I shred everything. Anything that has my name or any of my addresses on it, I shred, even if it's the circular from Valpak or something like that, just because that's just how I feel about my personal security. And I'm just thinking about that. When I go on a shredding spree and I start feeding things through the shredder through the 20 minutes it's going to let me before it shuts down on me, I'll sometimes stop and I'll say, oh, this postcard, what is this again?
Yep.
With an email, you don't get to do that. All you do is you click delete or you archive it and it's gone. You're not going to look at it again.
Right, exactly.
Right. Now, this direct mail, I mean, we're talking about printing and postage and design. Isn't this expensive?
You know, I love this because if you think about it, all marketing is an investment. It's
right.
not an expense, right? So whether it's expensive or not, whether it's and here's the big myth, right, is that email is free, that Facebook and social media are free. They're not free. They're not free at all because you, at the very least, you have your time involved in them, right? And
right.
unless you're using a free email program to send it, you're using some kind of shopping cart, you're paying for it. So,
right.
But we won't get into that debate, right? But
right.
you're right, there is a cost. And because there's a cost, a more tangible cost than most people in today's market are used to dealing with, again, it's not about the cost. It's about the return on investment. I'm a big numbers person. And if you take nothing else from our time together, if you get that it's about the return on investment, here's the other thing, Adam, is you always have to pay for a client. Always.
Right.
The question is now, again, let's go back to what you asked me a minute ago, right? Why do we want these people from a direct mail? Because they're more loyal, they buy more often, they spend more, all of those things. So the question again becomes, what's the quality of the client and which client do you want? Right.
Right.
How much are you willing? And then here's a question almost nobody can tell you. What does it cost to get a client? What are you willing to pay for a client? So if you know what the client spends with you typically on their first investment, right, when they buy from you, what do they spend?
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't know. Let's say
$100. Right.
If you know this number, and if it were $100, right, the question now becomes, what are you willing to invest to get the client? Some people say $5. Some people say $10. Some people would say $100. Some people are freaked out by that 100 number. They're like, oh my gosh, I can't be in business and stay in business. Well, you can if you understand the back end of your marketing, which is now what's the person worth on the second sale? What are they worth to you in that year, right? Because now
yes.
you may be willing to break even on the front to make your profit on the back. Same thing with direct mail.
Right, right, right. And I got to tell you, this topic is so exciting. Our time is already really starting to move here. And as our listeners know, not only am I the host of the Business Creators Radio Show, I'm sitting right next to them with my pen and my paper in hand as well, looking for that slight edge that's going to help me win at the game of business and marketing. And the inevitable next question, whenever we're talking about designing something that goes in the mail, we think of newsletters, postcards, letters, things like that. What makes an effective direct mail piece? What works the best?
Well, you know, the easy answer, Adam, is the short answer is that it works and it makes you money, right? That's the effective direct mail piece. But it really is going to vary. And so if you've never done direct mail or you're thinking, okay, Diane, Adam, maybe this makes sense, maybe I should try this, there are ways to try it that are less expensive, right? So things like postcards
right.
are less expensive than like a shock and awe package. There are advantages and disadvantages. You know, even putting something, if you put something in a regular, like, number 10 envelope, you can still get those out the door for about $1 if you do them right, right? So it's not
right.
ungodly expensive. It also depends on whether you're mailing to your list, your house list, which is always the first list that you want to start with, or to a colder list, right, or to a list who doesn't know you, right? Because it might
right.
be the difference between sending something with teaser copy on it. So if you're sending it to your house list, you can put teaser copy on it. You can tell them, hey, it's Diane, there's a special invitation for you on the outside of the envelope if you're sending something with an envelope. If you're sending to people that don't know you, then you want to do what they call the sneak up on them attack, right? You sort of want to send it so they don't know it's coming from you because they don't know you. So then you want to get into that A-pile mail where they put all their personal stuff, right? The letter from Aunt Betty, the birthday card from their
right.
mother, that sort of thing. So the big thing, like with all marketing, the most important piece to this is always going to be it has to have a headline that grabs their attention, that makes them read or look at the next thing.
Right. Right, absolutely, absolutely. So that kind of goes into the question of what kinds of direct mail are the most effective. And what I heard from you say, Diane, is it kind of depends. I mean, you have to look at who you're mailing to, how you're mailing to them, and what you're trying to accomplish. And if we want to talk about the cost of direct mail, I mean, we may not always have the ability to send a full-color 8-page flyer, but should that stop us from doing other things? I would say absolutely not. Why can't we send letters? Why can't we send postcards and things like that? It's all about top-of-mind awareness. What do you think? I get a lot of send-out cards. I mean, I get a lot of send-out cards. It seems like almost every time I get on the phone with anybody, they're thanking me with a send-out card for my time.
So you want an honest answer?
No, I want you to lie to me. No, of course I want an honest answer.
So the only kind I know how to get. I'm not a fan, and I'll tell you why I'm not a fan.
Okay.
For two reasons. One is that what you just said. I get a lot of them. It seems like every time I get on the phone with somebody, somebody thanks me with a send-out card. So you've lost
right.
the personalization. You've lost the feel of, I'm really thanking you for this because it's coming from send-out cards. The issue
right.
I have with it is, one is the personalization. The other piece that I don't like about it, and I'm not trying to badmouth anybody's, you know, business opportunity, is that
right.
when you open the card, we all open the envelopes from the back. When you open a send-out card, the first thing I see is their logo.
Right.
As a marketer and a business person, I paid to have that card sent. I want it turned the other way around. I don't want it marketing to you. And quite frankly, you can do most of this on your own or with a good printer for about the
yeah.
same amount that you're doing with send-out cards. So while it's a great – if it's your only choice, if you said to me, Diane, it's send-out cards or nothing, then send-out cards is better than nothing. But there are ways to do it that make it much more effective, that make much more of a statement – right. So here's the question I would ask you. How many send out cards do you have in your drawer?
I just moved, so every time I move I purge, so right now I'm gonna say none.
Okay. I have none. How many personal cards do you have that people have sent you with a handwritten note, with a little
tons.
Hey, this was great, all right, plenty.
Tons.
Right?
I have stuff from years ago.
Yeah. Boxes of those. I have some
yes.
of those on my wall in front of me. I have one that means so much to me. I have a picture of it. I carry it with me on my phone.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the difference. The difference is, which impression do you want to make? And
right.
that's just a question
right.
you have to ask for yourself.
Right. You know, as I'm thinking about this, a point that comes up over and over and over again in my conversations is I've been to a number of James Malinchak's events. I've been to the Big Money Speaker events, the College Speaking Bootcamp events. I was at his Millionaire Secrets Revealed. And after one of those events, when I hadn't been able to attend them for a few years, about a month after the event, I got a handwritten note from James. It was that typical long form chicken scratch handwriting that he uses. Everybody who knows him is familiar with it. The huge J on James. And I think he used a basic letterhead that he might have done on his dot matrix printer. But if I don't look at that thing once a month.
Yep.
Now, he could have automated that, but he took 5 seconds to basically write, "Hey, Adam, it was so great to see you all these years. Thanks for coming."
Yep. Yeah, and it makes a difference, right? You remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and as I said, I'm not even sure if it was done on professional letterhead. It just said JMI Incorporated at the top with his email address on it and his handwriting underneath it. But I think of that all the time, but I don't necessarily think of all the automated postcards I've gotten.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that should be news and good news to our business creators. You don't necessarily have to go into a huge amount of design if you want to make an impact. Sometimes the more basic version, the part where they can tell that maybe you didn't go out and get a high-priced designer, maybe you just printed out a bunch of letterheads using your regular printer in your office and wrote on them or whatever, but the thought that counts is going to be the thing that carries the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The
right.
The thing that, you know, makes you memorable, right? So it
yes.
is it. Last year when I did my annual event, everybody got a handwritten thank you note before the event. And it was, there were two things. I sent that, and I also sent a beach ball that was folded over, and on the inside it said, "We're going to have a ball at," and I put the name of the event and sent that.
I love it.
You know, this year I'm sending kites with a note that says, "We're going to do key implementation training exercises," because my event's all about implementation. So, you know, fun little things like that that people love, and, you know, they send you little notes. "Hey, cool, I just got the kite. That's great. You know, my kids, we're going to go out and fly the kite this weekend." So, you know, not only do they use it, but they get the point that, you know, it's a special thing.
Right. Now, here's another question for you. We talked a little bit about how to build a criteria for knowing who to mail to, which, again, is subjective just depending on the audience. But let's say we don't have a lot of people to mail to, or let's say that you know, we want to hit a new audience because we want to go after a new niche. Where are we going to list to mail to?
Again, that your house list is always preferable because they know you,
right.
You already have a relationship with them. JVs make great, actually, ways to get lists and do things with people. But if you're going to go out to purchase or rent a list, and by the way, this is not ungodly expensive depending upon the kind of list you want and the kind of list that you need, you simply are going to go by the way, don't ever do this with email lists. Don't ever get cold email lists.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Yeah, it's called spam, and it doesn't work. You can do this in the mail. So you want to go to a reputable list company. I have a particular guy that I use, not at the list companies because sometimes they get a little lazy. But the big things to find out are, you know, you want to ask for the data card. You want to find out when the last time it was mailed. And here's the big thing. Don't just take the list of, you know, people who subscribe to Success Magazine. You really want to cross reference thing. So think about who your
right.
target is. And then think about, so you want the women between the ages of 40 and 55 who subscribe to Success Magazine. Now, instead of having this big list, you've got this narrowly focused targeted list. So here's the really important thing, Adam, I want to make sure everybody understands. I'm not talking, when I talk about direct mail, I'm not talking about mass mailings. I'm not talking about mailing 10,000 or 50,000 pieces. I'm talking about...
This is key. Everybody listen to this one right here. Sorry to interject. Everybody listen to this because a lot of folks tuning in, a lot of people hearing this topic probably think they need to get a printer and do 50,000 copy of them and go into galley rates and bulk postage and everything else. So Diane's about to say something very key about direct mail. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I really need that to stand out.
No, it's all good. It's not about that. It's about let's mail 500, right? Let's mail 200. Let's test this and see what works. After you mail the 200 or the 500 test, well, we got a 2-to-1 ROI. If that's good enough for you, then we roll, again, when I say roll it out, again, we're not mailing 10,000. We mail 500 more. We may mail
right.
200 more, right? You might say, you know, that's great, but what if we change this one word in the headline? If you're going to change things, only ever change one thing at a time so you know exactly what created the change for you. And I'll quickly
right.
give you an example of how amazing this is that works. I have a friend who lives in Wisconsin. He's a chiropractor. He
right.
literally, using direct mail and sending between 100 and 200 pieces a week, he has run every other chiropractor out of his small town over the years. And he does it with a half-time person who does other things in his office. When she's there and it's slow or the phones aren't ringing, there aren't clients, she sends out some of these direct mail pieces. And literally, that's how he's built his business. Now, think about this. He's a chiropractor. He can't have 100 new clients coming in every week. But if he gets three or four, two or three, five or six every week, he's golden.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he's investing $100, $200, you know, a week. Everybody can afford to do that.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are so many marketers out there who won't bat an eyelash at investing in Infusionsoft, and you could be doing direct mail for a fraction of that price. I mean, you take the setup fee for Infusionsoft. I don't want to say what the number is because it keeps changing, but anybody listening to this who's familiar with it know it's a lot. And you amortize that over 12 months, you could easily fund a direct mail campaign like that chiropractor, no problem at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So what other tips can you give us for our direct mail campaigns?
You know, the big key word is going to be to plan. And I know that's not a popular thing, right? But most people just sort of do stuff, and it gets them into trouble. But you want to plan this out. You want to know when things are going ahead of time. You never want to send just one piece. You always want to send a minimum of three pieces, and you should see your numbers and the responses increase, right? Even if
right.
all you do is send something that's stamped second notice, people will say, oh, yeah, I meant to look at that thing Adam sent me. Oh, my
yes.
God, time must be running out on this. I need to pay attention here, right?
Yes, yes, yes. I love the phrase second notice. I mean, and people talk about writing effective email campaigns, and what I do sometimes is that I'll send an email out, and if I don't feel I've gotten a response I wanted to, or I want to put some juice behind it, I mean, I don't do it every time because it'll get too predictable. I'll just sometimes send the same email out, add the word second notice to the subject line, and then add a sentence at the beginning of it that says, hey, I'm not sure if you got this, just want to make sure. Here's the email that I sent you the other day.
Yeah.
People do not like to feel like they dropped the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the big thing with this, too, is that as you send these things, it doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be high gloss and fancy. You know, final notice, that's all the difference it has to be. But you should
right.
see, again, because you're doing multiple things, you should see it begin to tick up. Small campaigns and tests. And here's the big tip, list segmentation. So if you're
uh-huh.
using your own house list, if you've done a good job putting the information in, you can use this, and this is so valuable. So direct mail now becomes not something that you're sending the exact same piece to every particular person. What if you could personalize this by changing a few things, 20% of the piece, and making it personalized each time you send it? So I'll give you an example. For my event last year, I went in and pulled the list of the places that I had spoken. So let's say I had spoken at four different places, paid speaking gigs that year. And what I did was I said, the first sentence was, because I met you at the blank conference, we just
right.
changed it, right? The Glaser Kennedy Conference, the Merle Norman Conference, the, you know, the, whatever it was. Now there's a connection, right? I can only
yes.
do that if the information that I put into my system is good. This will save you huge amounts of money because you can now say, well, I only want to send the mail to people who've invested with me, to my buyers, to people who've invested in the last 12 months, to people who've already attended one of my events. So this is
right.
a great way to really save money on direct mail and really niche things and narrow focus things down so that you're not spending so much, that you don't feel like you're doing the big stuff. Here's another big tip I'll give you just real quickly. If you're going to do direct mail and you're planning your direct mail campaign, always, 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 always seed your list. What I mean by that is always put your own address on it, right? If you have multiples, like a home and an office address, put both of them.
Yes.
If you have friends or family who live in different parts of the country, you want to do that. You want to see how long it takes mail to get places. You want to see what that postcard looks like when it gets to you. Did they put the sticker over your call to action? You know, is there smudges on it because the printer took it in to the post office maybe when it was wet? All of these things become important. So you always want to do what we call seed the list so that you're on it and then you have friends and family in different parts of the country who can let you know when they get it as well.
Right, and that's so easy to do too. I mean, if you have a mother or an aunt or a father or anybody who has a different last name than you, I mean, it ain't going to get picked up.
Yeah, and you know, even... I mean, it sounds silly, but even if your list is 100 or 200, most people who are doing this for you aren't really paying that much attention, especially if you're using a mail house. It's all automated. So,
right.
You know, and
right, they're not going to catch it. They're not going to
yeah,
catch it.
Plus, it's good business. They've seeded the list. Trust me. They're getting the piece so that they know what's going out, so that, you know, people understand that.
Right. Exactly. So, Diane, in a few minutes we have left here, and I do want to give you the floor in just a moment so that you can share with our business creators how you can support them, because I know that there are so many people on the edge of their seat right now just dying for the opportunity to learn more about this. I know I am. What is your number one tip, number one, to keep in mind for direct mail campaigns? You just gave us several great ones, but if there's one thing that we need to walk away from this with today.
Yeah, it's easy. It's measure. It's test and measure.
Right.
Test what you're doing. Measure what you're doing so that you know your numbers. I can tell you anytime I mail a piece, what not only what the postage was, what the envelope cost, what the printing cost, and what my return was, right? How many did we get, how many converted, and what the dollar figure was. You always want to know that. And again, test small and roll out. But test and measure and know your numbers. I know you asked for one. I gave you two. But
No, that's okay. You're allowed to over-deliver. I'll tolerate it. You know, this reminds me of something too, and this is one of those lemons into lemonade type stories. Is one of my clients was doing something like this. He ordered 300 postcards, and he picked out a segment of his mailing list that he wanted to promote an upcoming event to, and a few of the cards were damaged. Mm-hmm. So what he did is on the ones that were damaged, in some cases he left them damaged, in some cases he put tape over where they were ripped. In some cases, he wrote a personal note on them, and then he picked out a few other cards that also were just in perfect condition, and he wrote notes on those like, please call me, or can't wait to see you there, or questions, here's my email address, and he wrote his email address out, or something like that. And then he made a spreadsheet of which postcard went to which person, and then he monitored the result to see which of those postcards got a result. So he took the fact that a few of his postcards came back from the print shop, they were damaged. And he thought, okay, well, I'll send them out anyway. Maybe the fact that it's damaged will make it stand out and I'll read my message.
Yeah, you know, sometimes things don't have to be perfect. And I think, you know, that's the big thing to remember is things don't have to be perfect. You want them to represent who you are, right? So, you know, an example would be you wouldn't want to send a postcard on a regular sheet of copy paper because, you know, it's
right
through and that kind of thing. But it also doesn't have to be on, you know, 80-pound cardstock. Sometimes you can – there are ways to save money with this that aren't always obvious, but
right
give you the difference, right? Instead of a full-color postcard, maybe you put it on one of the Astro Bright solar yellow or pink with just black writing. It's going to get this – if it gets the same response, it can save you – a lot of money. So because he measured, because he looked at it, and again, let me just emphasize, because sometimes this sounds like, oh my gosh, this is so much work. You don't have to be the one doing this.
Right.
There's plenty of places to outsource this to that are very affordable. Again, think about downtime in your office. Think about a virtual assistant. Think about a soccer mom in your neighborhood, a retiree who's looking to make some extra money. There are a lot of ways to get this direct mail stuff done. That doesn't mean you're the one sitting there stuffing an envelope, licking a stamp. See, I aged myself, right? Sticking on a stamp, you know, and doing everything for this. So this can be done very simply, very easily, and it can be very, very successful for you.
Exactly. Diane, I wish we could go for 5 hours. I mean, we made a comment while we were over in the quote-unquote green room that, you know, you can talk for 20 minutes, you could talk for 5 hours. You know, once you're familiar with your topic, you can just go all day long. And we may have you back on this show for some of your other areas of expertise as well. I hope if we're able to invite you, you'll accept our invitation because this has been fantastic. Now, what I want to do here is I want to give you a minute or two. I know some of our listeners are on the edge of their seat right now saying, how can I contact Diane? How can Diane help me? Where can we take this from here? So just let me give you the floor for 2 minutes. Explain to our fellow business creators how they can get in touch with you if they have questions or they'd like additional resources from you.
Sure. A couple easy ways. First, if you have a real interest in the direct mail stuff and you'd like to have more information on that, I have a free CD I would love to send you. It's called How
Yes.
to Skyrocket Your Profits with Direct Mail. And that's really simple. If you simply go to directmailbuildingblocks.com, again, it's
right.
directmailbuildingblocks.com, com. You can pick up that free CD there, How to Skyrocket Your Profits with Direct Mail. We'll send that out to you. I'd love to get you that. It's a lot more in detail than what we had time to go into on today's call. My main website is at CompleteMarketingSystems.com. That's the name of my company. That is plural, Complete Marketing Systems. If you're an info marketer, there's a great CD that is available there called The 9 Key Building Blocks to Start, Build, and Grow Your Information Business. We'd be happy to send you that as well if you want that. So, again, CompleteMarketingSystems.com. If you want to give me a call, I've got an 866 number. If you're in the continental U.S., it works, and that's 866-293-0589. So any of those ways will get you connected to us. I would love to answer any questions that you guys have about direct mail, or if you need some help sending out a campaign to help you actually do that, and I'll work the printer and the mail house and all that for you, and you approve the final design, we do the rest. It's really that simple.
Well, all I got to say is first of all, thank you so much. And you have to be probably the first person who's been a guest on Business Creators Radio Show who's actually given people their phone number. So I admire the accessibility, and I think that's also great to have a toll-free number, because as I share with my audience all the time, you really need to have a toll-free number, because it just establishes something about you and who you are in business.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. You know, the bottom line is, again, it's all about the relationship. It's how do I make it easy and simple for you to get in touch with me so that I can help you and we can do business together, as opposed to, putting up roadblocks and making it difficult. I've never been quite sure, and I'm still not ever sure when people do it, how that helps your business and how that helps you grow the relationship with your potential clients. So,
exactly. So, Diane Conklin, again, thank you so much for being on the Business Creators Radio Show with us today. This has been an honor and a pleasure and an experience, and we do look forward to having you back for some of the other topics as well. This is going to be a great time.
Well, thank you, Adam. The honor is mine and the privilege is mine. I appreciate it, and I would be I'd be honored to come back and talk to you as well. So thank you very much for having me, and I look forward to being on again.
Absolutely. All right.